I'm so thankful. I really wanted to bring my chair and sit back down because I kind of enjoyed that. But we're going to move into a new series this morning. And I do feel like that I had a lot more to squeeze out of the last series. But I'm going to move into a new series this morning as we begin this new year. With your help and with God's guidance, we're going to cover some territory. I'm thankful to see you here. Why don't we just join our hearts together and our minds together in a word of prayer and ask God to direct us in this part of the service. Dear God, we are thankful for your power, for your word. We come before you asking God that you would open up the word that is prophetic, that is powerful, that is searching, convicting, and directing to our lives. Let me speak as the oracles of God, and let us take the word and grow by it. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. And everybody say amen. I would like to start this series, and I'm going to give the heading as the our lessons for life. That's going to be the main topic or the main title, lessons for life. Now, I have several other subheadings that I'm going to use, and I'm going to give those to you this morning, and I'll review those subheadings as we go along each lesson. The first one is the lesson of the ant, and that's not the aunt. That is not your relative, okay? The lesson of the ant. The next one, the lesson of the angel. Then I will go to, I struggled with some of these, all right, because I had a couple of them that I wanted to change up a little bit. And I put it down, and then I took it out, and I put it down, and I took it out, and I was like, I don't know. But the next one is, or another one is going to be the lesson of the witch. That's kind of scary, isn't it? then this is where, this next one is where I kind of struggled. I had a couple of different directions that I just kind of battled in my own mind. But the next one, I'm going to call it the lesson of the worm. And I just went back to that one. That's where I started. And then I left it and went to a different one. Maybe I put up the lesson of the wind. Maybe I told them that. Did I tell them that? I'm not looking behind me. I'm going by memory here, okay? So it's a new year. I'm another day older. So maybe I told them the wind. I may change it back to worm, all right? But it's going to be the wind or the worm. That's the one I struggled with, all right? And the lesson of the liar. That's interesting as well, isn't it? And then the lesson of the lamp. These are going to be some... My wife asked me, said, "Well, what are you going to teach?" I said, "I'll tell you when I get up there." She said, "Nevertheless, I know it's going to have a twist." I said, "Guarantee it. Every single one of them, there will be a twist." This morning, we're going to begin in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12. This is going to be the beginning verses of our lesson each week. So if you would like to mark these and remember them, go home and read them. That would be of great benefit to every lesson, just to understand where we're going to. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, we're going to start with verse number 8. Verse number 8 actually is a repetition verse. It's a repetitive verse. If you look at Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse number 2, it says almost identical word for word of what is said here. But it says, "Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. All is vanity. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many Proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth. The words of the wise are as goads and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. And further, by these, my son, be admonished, and of making many books, there is no end, and much study is weariness of the flesh. I'm going to stop there instead of reading the, I wanted to read 13 and 14, but I'm going to stop right there for the sake of our lesson today. It's kind of interesting that we know the author of this book as Solomon, and we know him as King Solomon, do we not? But it's very interesting that he opens this book with the introduction of "Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher." That's pretty interesting, isn't it? We know him as a king, but he introduced himself to us in this writing as the preacher. He also included the caption or the identifier in this reading that we read as a teacher. And he used the word proverbs. He set aside many proverbs. The New Testament, Jesus taught in proverbs, but they're called parables. That's the word that's used in the New Testament, is a parable. The Old Testament is used as called a proverb. But Solomon had something to say here to every single one of us about our lives. And remember, this series is called Lessons for Life. And every one of us have things that we can look back on and wish we had known differently before we went into something. But we can't relive those times, can we? So the thankfulness that we have in our lives is for grace and mercy, isn't it? Amen? Because mistakes have been made in every one of our lives. It's just called life. We do things and we look back on them and think, you know, it would have been better had I done something differently in this time of my life, but I didn't. But because of the directions and the directives of God, we will find ourselves walking in a new life. That's what the New Testament calls it, because of grace, because of mercy. I want to talk to us about how that life is to be learned in our own times, in our own lives, and understanding what God has given us to be responsible for. I called this one the lesson of the ant. In Proverbs chapter 6, verse number 6, starting there, I didn't give them this to put up here just for the simple fact I didn't want to make a clutter of what I had up here for this lesson. But I want us to pay attention. The only place that I could find in the entire Word of God that an ant is mentioned is in Proverbs 6. That by A-N-T, the only place that I could find is Proverbs 6. And he talks to us, again, remember, a parable, proverb, it's one and the same. Old Testament, proverb, New Testament, parable. But here we find Solomon, the author of Proverbs, giving us a life lesson about an ant. And this is what he says about it. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Again, I like King James Version because I grew up reading this, and this old English stuff is, I don't know, it just resonates with me. I guess I'm an old soul or something. I don't know, but it just does. And not that I have any problem reading some of the newer versions, but when he talks about thou sluggard. I like that. It gives a little bit of emphasis of personal reflection, doesn't it? It helps us to understand he's talking to us. What is he doing? He provideth her meat in the summer, verse number 8, and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. I will not dissect every one of these verses, because there's a lot of territory to cover with this. But I want us to begin with an understanding of what he was exposing us to when he wrote for us to consider the ways of the ant. It's kind of interesting that he described to us the activities that the ant was involved in without a ruler, it says, without an overseer, or without a guide. What I learned from this, and what I understand from reading this part of this proverb, is he's talking to us about our personal life. Understanding our personal life. Now, I realize that there are lots of people that know when the vegetables come in. I mean, it's a new year and it's still wintertime, but you know where my mind goes? Fresh green beans. That's where it goes. Because I love them. Fresh corn. Now, I realize that that's still a few months off, but that's where my mind goes. And I'm going to tell you my favorite one. My favorite out of everything that comes in. You want me to tell you? Yeah, okay, I'll tell you. Cayenne pepper. That's my favorite. That's my favorite out of everything that comes in is cayenne pepper. I had a brother that said, well, I'll grow. I said, I've tried to grow them, and I do not have a green thumb, okay? I do not. I've tried. I've told the story before, and I might have told you. I planted 27 rows, and they were long rows. And when I say long, I'm talking about from here to the back of the sanctuary. 27 rows of corn. I did it by the book. I had 4 stalks that come up. I said, nah, I'm not doing a garden again, ever again. So I haven't. I just don't. I go somewhere that they know how to grow stuff, and I just kind of get it from them, you know, and buy them and pay them and say, thank you for your labors. I can't do it. I'll have to eat it. I've tried to grow peppers. I can't grow them. I can eat them. In fact, we had been pretty before we had moved here, we became pretty common tenders of a farmer's market. And there happened to be a gentleman that I became acquainted with that was, he was something of a scientist, so to speak. He was. He had grown peppers for Maryland University for a lot of years, and then he had retired, but they still had him developing their different kinds of peppers. And I asked him one day, I said, well, what about jalapeno peppers? And he says, I have those. I said, what about cayenne? It's hard for me to find the old style cayenne that come down and have a little crook at the end. Those are the best, all right? The straight cayennes, those are hybrids. They're not good. And I said, you might like them, I don't know. But he said, I've got some. So he brought, the next time I went, he brought, I don't know how many different kinds of cayenne pepper. And he said, would you like to try them? So I became his pepper taster. And I would, he would say, he don't even eat them. He said, I don't eat peppers, but I grow them and I develop all these different styles. And so I would give him my review of all of his different kinds of pepper, not just the cayenne or the jalapenos, but any of the other kinds. And that I would stand there at his little booth and I would try this one and I would say, okay, this is what I get out of this. This is the kind of flavor or this type chili pepper or whatever. And I enjoyed that because I like pepper, but I can't grow them. But there's one thing I've learned. When it's harvest time, it's when to put it away. Solomon, the wise man, was writing to us about all of the different things of life. And then in the midst of it, as he's introducing these life lessons about all kinds of different behavior, he says, I want to talk to you about your personal time. How do you manage your personal time? I understand when we hear the word management, we start almost start breaking out in hives and start bowing up in rebellion because But sometimes managers get in a position because of who they know instead of what they know. See, you see what I'm saying? Everybody started, I heard a lot. I heard it, yep. It's not because they know how to run things properly or to make them smooth operations. It's just because they had a loud voice and they convinced somebody. And you know very well that usually the man or the individual that's the quietest in the line of production of whatever kind of production that it is, usually is the man that keeps things running. He don't, just have all the answers that he tells everybody. He usually just kind of knows the answers and he knows how to keep it running. And when it comes right down to it, that's the man that's the individual that everybody goes to. And to find out the answers instead of that manager, because there's way too many people that are in positions because they want a position. It's usually the people that don't want the position that are the ones that need that position. Am I right? The ones that say, nah, I don't want it. They're the ones that really need it. They're the ones that really know how to treat people. They're the ones that really know how to handle the situations of adversity. That's what Solomon was writing about. He was writing about our personal life, our personal time, how we manage our personal time. Go to the ant. Consider her ways and be wise. In her personal time, she don't have a ruler. Does it mean to have a church without leadership, or does it mean to have a life without leadership? No, it doesn't. It means he was teaching us that your ability to follow proper leadership is to implement proper leadership in your own life. A few years ago, I was sitting in front of a group of men that had been it was a mixed congregation. It was men and women, but they were incarcerated. I had been going there for a long period of time, and I knew most of them. And so I'd asked the question, how many of you guys are, this is your first time? And I had 3-4 out of a group of 30 or 40 people, 40, I believe it was. I had 3 or 4 that raised their hand. This was their first time to be incarcerated. I said, are you coming back? No, never. Some of the others just chuckled. I said, how many are you repeat? The vast majority, all the rest of them raised their hand. They were repeats. I looked at them. I had this connection with them. And I said, I can tell you why you're back in here. How many has been in here more than once? How many has been in here several times? And, several. There were repeats over and over, and they got interested. They got quiet. I said, it's not because of what you did. If it's stealing, if it's drugs, if it's alcohol, that's not what I'm getting at. I'm going to tell you why you're in here. Because there's discipline in here. You know you're going to have three hots in a cot. That's what they call it. You're going to have three hot meals, and you're going to have a place to lay your head. Because you know the moment you walk out those doors, you don't know where you're going to live. In fact, the vernacular is on the street, well, I stay over here. They don't live anywhere. They stay. They stay here or they stay here, and that can change with the wind. They don't know where their next meal is coming from. You see, what Solomon was writing to us is to keep from getting our own personal lives in such a topsy-turvy manner, to implement time management in our own lives. Do you know that it's better if we learn how to manage our own time? Because if we don't, someone else will manage it for us. He not only talked about managing our time, but he also mentioned managing our resources, didn't he? I'm not going to do the total money makeover today from Dave Ramsey. That's not what I'm here for. I'm not here to delve into your personal antics of what you have and what you don't have. Let me tell you what every single one of us has, and we all have this. Every single one of us have exactly the same amount of time in a day. We may not have the time in life, but we all have the same amount of time in a day. A few years ago, I had a doctor that had become friends, and he was a veterinarian. And through connections of what have you, he had invited me to go with him to some. I will tell you what I call it. I call it, from the outside, a pyramid scheme, okay? That's just what I called it. But he invited me to go with him and wanted to let me sit in this meeting with him. And so I did. And we rode about an hour and a half, and we went through the meeting. And I got free food, and I enjoyed that, and had a good time of talk on the hour and a half back. And we got back, and he said, "So what do you think? What do you think?" I said, "Well, Doc, it's probably very good. I have no personal issue with it whatsoever. But I just don't have the time." That's not what he wanted to hear. He said, "Well, I'll tell you, every one of us have 24 hours in a day," and that stopped me in my tracks. I said, "Well, you're exactly right, sir. I appreciate your candidness about that. So with your approach to candidness, I'm going to be less diplomatic. I'm not going to take the time to do what you've asked of me. I'm not interested. Thank you, though. I'd rather put my time in other areas." That's just what I told him. I was being diplomatic the first time. "I just don't have the time." But he gave me pause and gave me understanding about how to approach that. Every single one of us have the same amount of time in every day. And it's how we manage that time that determines the outcome of that day. And once we learn how to do it on a daily basis, it starts duplicating on a daily basis. Till before long, we have a good week behind us. And in a few days, we have a month behind us. And in a few more days, we have a year behind us. But it comes about, and you know what? We're never too old to learn time management. We're never too old to learn that. "Well, you know, I've always done it this way." Well, let me give you this advice, okay? This is just free advice. It will not be charged to the time that I have put into the rest of it. If we keep doing the same thing we've always done, we'll keep getting the same thing that we've always gotten. There comes a point in time in our lives, and you wonder why in the world that I'm talking about time management when this is church. I'm glad you think in that. I'm glad I read those thoughts of your mind. I will tell you why. Because in your personal time, in your personal time, when you're outside the confines of the church building, but you have managed to take a part of your day and focus your attention on God, it makes all the difference in the world in how the seed of the word is planted in your life when you get here. You know what David said about his personal life? And he passed this on to his son. He said, and this is how he opened up his writings in the book of Psalm. He said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And there were some great benefits of doing just that. Because he said, if you do this, you shall be like a tree that is planted by the rivers of water, and you'll bring forth your fruit in your season. The leaf, it shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth, oh great, whatsoever he doeth, it'll prosper. That's a powerful thing, isn't it? God has allowed us insight into making certain that we live a blessed life. But it starts with us. He has delivered to us time for us to manage, resources for us to manage. Do you know what he says in the New Testament about this very thing? Let me tell you what he says. He says, of whom much is given, much is required. Do you know that people have no more time than the next one? But it's how they manage it. And that's how they manage to get ahead, isn't it? You see, prosperity is not about having lots of stuff. That's what the world would like us to think. It's a focus thing. It's something about what our minds get focused on. He didn't mention that the ant had a lot of stuff. It's just that they managed their time. Nobody had to tell them that it was time to put by for the winter. But when it was harvest time, I mean, you get to thinking about it. They didn't have a calendar. They don't have a clock. That's pretty important, isn't it? I mean, some of us live by the calendar and the clock, don't we? I mean, we get up by, I'm really bad. It's very, very seldom that I set a clock. Very seldom. But usually by 4 o'clock, I'm awake. And shortly thereafter, I'm up. I'm up and at it. Now, that comes from years and years of, I guess, the same routine. But that's my normal time. But don't try to start talking to me about 10 or 11 o'clock at night on the phone either. Because if you do, I'll tell you what my dad told one several years ago. He said, well, I tell you what, When I start getting up in the mornings, if you call me again about 10 or 11 o'clock and talk for an hour, I'm going to start calling you about 5 or 6 when I get up, because that gentleman, he wasn't up at that time of the day. He said, I'm going to start calling you 5 or 6 in the morning and getting you up and talk to you for about an hour. And you know, that stopped the 10 or 11 o'clock calls. Now, I'm not against what time you get up. I'm just simply saying there comes a point in time in our lives that we have to realize it's in our hands how we manage our time and our resources that makes a difference in our days. It makes a difference in our weeks. It makes a difference in our months and our years. God gave us the ability that even without a calendar, no one prompts the ant. They don't have an overseer. They don't have a guide. They don't have a ruler. They just know it's time to set by in the harvest. They just know that it's time to rest when it's time to rest. They know it's time to work when it's time to work. Nobody puts structure in their life. If you want to call it instinct, you can call it instinct if you will. Have you ever been around any farm animals? Anybody? Raise your hand if you have. Just show of hands. Most of you. Let me tell you what you have to realize if you've ever been around new foals or new calves. Have you ever seen a class on where to find their first meal? When they're born and mama turns around and starts cleaning them up and giving them a nudge in just a little bit of time, especially wintertime, they got to get them up and moving because they'll freeze to the ground if they're not careful. So they give them a nudge and they clean them up good and give them a nudge and keep put. And in a few minutes, you'll see them. They'll get up on them wobbly legs. I love to see new colts and calves. I love it. I just enjoy that. And they get up and the next thing you know, they're getting breakfast. Their first meal. Nobody taught them. It's an instinct. It was God-given. Now, I went to there to show you, according to the word of God himself, the sparrows, they're fed and they're clothed. But he says, how much more does your heavenly Father think of you? Do you know what he does for us? He gives us the innate ability to get ahead in life. Not get behind the curveball, but to get ahead in life. And I know immediately everybody wants to think, oh, well, this one has more than that one. I'm not talking about money today. That's not at all what I'm talking about. It has nothing to do with money. It is all in how we manage our time. Do you know there was a parable, a proverb in the New Testament, if you will? Jesus gave this about the good master that had some servants and he was going away on a trip. Do y'all know this story? He was going away and he called them in and he gave one 5 talents. Y'all remember this, don't you? And the next one he gave 2. And the next one he gave 1. And the scripture describes it after their several ability. Or that word translated in our language is after their separate ability. Their propensities. Their willingness to get a hold of things in life and manage their resources and manage their time. And he goes on this trip, and he goes away, and he comes back, and he calls those servants in, and he says, let's give an account. And the one that had five given to him, he was very astute. He had very good attention that he paid to the detail of what was given him. And he said, here's your five, sir, and here's the five more. I put it to use, and here I've gained yet five. He said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the blessings of the Lord. That's good. We all want to hear that, don't we? And the one that had two given to him, he came and gave an account, and he said, I've got yet two more. Wow, you've done great. You've done good. Well done, now good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of the Lord. Great. The one that had delivered to him the one talent, he brought it and dusted it off and cleaned it up a little bit and kept pushing off the soil. And he says, I knew that you were an astute man. And you reaped where you hadn't sown. And I was afraid. And I was afraid I would lose it. So I went and hid it. Here's the one that you gave me. You know what he did? He looked at him, and the New Testament vernacular was slothful. The Old Testament vernacular would have been sluggard. That's what we just read in Proverbs, isn't it? You're a slothful servant. You didn't manage very well. The least you could have done was to put it in the bank and let it get some usury, let it gain some interest. That's the very least you could have done. Let's take it from you and let's give it to the one with five. Do you know what the issue is? This is what it is. God never wants us to bury what he's given us. He wants us to build on it. You say, oh, but I don't have the talent. Again, I know we use that word talent, and that's what is used in the scripture. A talent, a talent, a talent. And we say immediately we attach a certain definition to that word. And we immediately excuse inactivity by our definition application of saying, oh, well, I'm just not talented like everyone else. And that one has this ability, and I just don't have that ability. And so then God doesn't require that of me. Let me tell you, God doesn't require anything of us that he hasn't given us. But what he does require of us is what he's given us. And every single one of us, I began this with just every one of us agreeing that God had given us grace and mercy. Do you remember? I was laying this trap, wasn't I? It's how we give grace when our McDonald's order is wrong. Go in and slink, clean their clocks and sling stuff all over the restaurant. Do you know how many times I've driven away and had wrong somebody else's order, and I knew somebody else had my order? Do you know how many times I've went back and just fussed and cussed and carried on and stomped and snorted? None. Oh, I'm not the perfect guy, I can promise you. Have I fussed? Absolutely, but not to them. My wife can tell you, oh, I'll fuss. I knew they was going to get it wrong. Look at this. I don't eat onions. Well, give it to me. I'll eat it anyway. Let me tell you why. Let me tell you why. I've learned a valuable lesson. Let me tell you where I learned this lesson. doing some travels in some other countries. And I sat down at a table. And I watched 15 people stand around that table watching me and three other guys eat. And I made an observation. Every one of us had a different utensil. Do you know why? That's all the utensils they had. Do you know why they were standing and waiting? Because that's all the plates they had. Do you know why they were waiting? It's because as soon as we got finished with the piece of meat that had been put on my plate, and I finished it, and I laid it down, they took my plate and my utensil, and they went and washed it, and they fed someone else. Did I ask what I was eating? Absolutely not. You know why? Because it didn't matter. They provided it for me. So if somebody puts my order a little bit wrong, I've already learned. I don't fuss. I thank God I can get an order. Because I've been in places that I didn't get orders. I've been in places in my life that I didn't have the ability to get orders. That I ate what somebody gave me. And it's during those times that you learn how to manage what you have. It's during those times. You say, oh, but how did you get into such a place? I won't go into those details. It wasn't all pretty. There's some things in every one of our yesterdays. Does anybody remember when times were a little more lean than they are now in your life? Do you remember that? Aren't you thankful for what you have right now? Aren't you thankful for the things that God has allowed us to gather? Let me tell you why you've been able to gather that. Because you've understood the abilities of the seasons of managing what the resources were available during those seasons. I thank God for every time there's ever been a raise in my past. And every time there might be a raise in the future. Do you know why? Because I have been to the place that there was not a hope of one. But I knew how to survive. I knew whatever I had to do to survive. If it was picking up this or picking, I can tell you. Somebody asked me one day, well, what all have you done? I said, you want me to really tell you? I've done whatever it took to make a dollar. Whatever it was, I've done it. You name it, and if it was legal and sometimes borderline not, I've done it. You know why? Because my dad taught me as a young man at an early age. In fact, I missed kindergarten. You know why? Because I was working with my dad. I didn't have to go. And I just... These boys at school wondered why in the world I didn't do this during the summer and I didn't do that in the summer. I'll tell you why. I was working. I learned how to work. And that's why that it's not a problem at 4 o'clock in the morning for me to pop awake and be ready to go for the day. It's not a problem right now. I will tell you why. Because God has given us an opportunity, ladies and gentlemen. Lessons for life. The ant has taught us how to manage our time. Consider her ways and be wise. Consider her ways. Understand that she does every bit of this without an alarm clock, without a calendar. But she knows how to supply for her life and make it through the hard times because she knows how to identify the good times. For every one of us, we're going to have ups and downs, aren't we? How do we make it? Personal time management. That's where it comes from. And when you manage that and you put God in that mix, God takes your efforts and he starts multiplying them. He multiplies and he multiplies it. That's what the scripture says. Add to your faith virtue, doesn't it? Go to the ant. This is a life lesson. Consider her ways. and be wise. Let's pray. God, we're thankful today for your word. We're thankful for your power. We're thankful, God, for your people. Help us to take this word. Help us to take it and apply the principles that you have provided for our lives. And help us, oh God, to walk in the directives of your spirit. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. And everybody say amen.